All right, look, I can't tame this curl over here on the right, so you're just going to have to live with that. I'm going to go back to 2 Corinthians 3. I had left off there speaking of the religion, the religious desire to make deals with God. And I was explaining to you that the new covenant hasn't even started yet. And that when it does start, you won't be able to, you won't have to ask, is the new covenant started yet? No, you won't have to ask. Look, I went to the zoo 2 years ago, and they were still keeping the lions away from the lambs. Okay, when you see lions and lambs laying down together, when you see Jesus Christ back on earth in Jerusalem, when you see people like David and the apostles, including Peter, walking around in Jerusalem, then you will know that the new covenant has started. When you see irreverence removed from Jacob, that is from Israel, then you know. When people aren't at war anymore, then you will know. Okay? It's not a mystery. It's not a secret. It's not this esoteric knowledge that only the initiated will know when the kingdom comes. I've been told that the kingdom is spiritual, and it is, but the Pentecostal idea of spiritual is that it's esoteric. It's within you. It's up to private interpretation. It's God manifesting his kingdom in your body. Well, that's all nice. You know, why don't you write a song about it? But it doesn't do away with the literal political kingdom that is going to come to be in Jerusalem. And the new covenant, I remind you, is when God writes his law on the hearts of Israelites corporately. Yes, as a nation. As a nation, Israel is to be born again. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you, plural. In the King James, it's actually good. Ye. Well, it's good if you like 16th century English, but it does give the truth about the plural. Ye must be born again. Ye Israelites must be born again. The whole nation. It goes back to Isaiah 66. Shall a nation be born again in one day? All right. Now, coming back to 2 Corinthians 3, I was talking to you about glory. And I was saying that the glory that we have in the body of Christ eclipses even the glory of the new covenant when Israel comes to it. I told you that in 2 Corinthians 3:6, our new covenant, it's not a literal covenant any more than Israel's new covenant is a literal new covenant, because a covenant is an agreement between two parties. Each does their respective part. The new covenant is God doing everything. Yeah, it's like a mother asking a child to help her with the dishes, you know. It's like, help me with the dishes. Well, the kid's not really helping. You're just doing it so that the child learns responsibility. But after a while, nothing gets done. And you say, look, I'll just do this myself. You go play with your little dolly. All right, same with Israel. All right, look, I'll just do this myself. It looks like I'm going to be putting my law on your hearts myself. And that's the idea. Israel will be thankful. They will be glad when that finally happens. Our covenant is God. Again, Paul's only bringing this phrase up to compare it to Israel's. And compared to Israel's, ours exceeds it in glory. It's a transcendent glory, 2 Corinthians 3:10, over and above. All right, verse 12. Having then such an expectation, that is, our glory is greater than Israel's glory. And what's Israel coming into in the 1,000 years? Oh my gosh, people who think that the kingdom is metaphorical or it's only inside of you, they completely misread that passage. The kingdom of God is within you. They think this proves it's not going to be an outward political kingdom. Jesus was telling this to the Pharisees, who thought that the kingdom was going to be legislated from without, and that they were going to impose rules and laws, that the priesthood was going to do this. No, Jesus said, you have to change first. You have to be changed, Israel. You have to be changed, priests, scribes, Pharisees. It comes from within. In other words, it starts from a change of the heart. That's what he meant. They didn't want to change their hearts. They just said, we can do this by proper legislation. We can bring the kingdom by imposing our laws on people and following up on them, making sure that they're doing everything we say. Jesus says, that's old covenant. You're still asking for a deal from the people. Don't you realize I can't even get a deal from you, Pharisees, priests, scribes? And so you're sure not going to get a deal from the people. This starts from within you. That's where it starts, but it comes to fruition. It's manifested in a literal political kingdom. Can't emphasize that enough. And it's going to be great. My point was that the lions are going to lay down with the lambs. Literally, a child is going to play at a serpent's hole. That's what it says. That's what the Bible says. Somewhere, read the whole Bible, you'll find it. Child will play near the adder's cave or whatever. Yeah, snake charmers. Two-year-olds will be snake charmers. It's going to be nothing. And the earth will be covered with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Nobody will have to teach his brother, saying, know the Lord. Isn't that, that's a pain today, I'm telling you, to teach everybody, try to get everybody to come up to speed. People don't get it. Their attention spans are terrible. The world is afflicted with ADD, attention deficit disorder. And what a glorious thing. All will know me from the least to the greatest. So this dumbed down aspect of our society will be lifted. And the curse will be removed. I like to rehearse for you the glories of the earth and then tell you how ours blow them out of the water. But there's so few people actually believe that this stuff's going to happen on the earth. There's a curse on the earth right now, thanks to Adam. Don't know if you knew this, but the earth is stunted in its growth. But Martin, I see out your window, you got trees out there. You got palm trees, you got flowers. It's so beautiful. The earth is sprouting. Yeah, but it's just barely. I mean, it's still stunted. It's not flourishing in the manner it will flourish because the weeds are experts at pulling the nutrients required by the good plants. And so this is nothing. We're just so used to a bare bones operation down here, and we think this is as good as it gets, but it's not. The curse is going to be removed from the earth. Remember, God cursed the earth. Told Adam, by the sweat of your brow, you're going to make corn come up. Well, not anymore, folks. The earth is going to be flourishing. You won't have to work hard at it. No sweat from no brow. It's just going to come up. It's going to be on autopilot. That's right. The pumpkins, the pomegranates, the palm trees, the coconuts, the roses, the daffodils. It's all going to be on autopilot. And everybody's going to know the Lord. And the animals are going to talk again, I believe. They used to talk back in the day. The serpent talked to Eve, no problem. Balaam's ass talked to him. It used to be in the old days a miracle if an ass would speak. Today it's a miracle if an ass shuts up. But that's going to be a different day. The animals will be gentle and kind. Yeah, even cats. But our glory among the celestials, Paul says it's transcendent. That's my main point. I wasn't even planning on talking about that, but there I go. Having then such an expectation, we are using much boldness. Paul speaking, much boldness. I'm tired of holding back with the glories. I'm tired of holding back as if we're not supposed to expect transcendent glory, as if it's not going to be a personal glory, because it is. We are going to be glorified, our bodies. We don't often think this way because we're too humble, right? But we are becoming bold now, and we are seeing the next world come alive. It is to me. This world is getting dull, dim, uninteresting. I don't want to travel anywhere. I don't want to see anything new. Martin, come to my country. We have a magnificent mountains. I'm sorry. You've seen one mountain. You've seen them all. I'm tired of it. I don't want to see any more mountains. I don't want to see any more valleys. I don't want to see any more oceans. I don't want to see any more deserts. I just want to see Jesus Christ, and I want to see my home. I want to see my rightful home. And these things are looming large to those of us who are engaged in these things. This is why I do this show for you every day, to engage you in present truth. And Paul says, much boldness. We're using much boldness because of such an expectation. And we are not even as Moses. This is what he says in verse at the end of verse 12. We're not even as Moses. Moses was great. You talk about Moses, it's like, hey, what? He's an A-lister. Yeah, but we're not even as Moses. He placed a covering over his face so that the sons of Israel were not to look intently to the consummation of that which was being nullified. Catch that. Even in his heyday, even in the great days of Moses, he had a glory that literally, this is literal light shone on his face, and he covered it. And people think, oh, how, look at how humble Moses was, Harold. Moses is so humble, he puts a covering over his face. He doesn't want people to see how great he is. No, that's not it at all. He put the covering over his face to cover up the consummation. Because it was like one of those night lights. No, it's those things, those glow-in-the-dark things I had when I was a kid, those little stickers you put on your ceiling, like stars and planets. When you turned your light on, the little stickers, glow-in-the-dark stickers, were charged. And when you turned your light off, they glowed really big because they were holding that charge. But then They wore down, and pretty soon, when you woke up in the middle of the night, all the stars were all gone, and the planets went away. That was Moses' glory. It was like a solar panel. Yeah, it only lasts as long as the sun's shining. When the sun goes away, it'll carry it. The stored-up energy will carry the light or whatever for a certain amount of time, but after that, it's a fading glory. And Moses didn't want the people to see. God didn't want the people to see it at that time that the glory was fading and that it was being nullified. And so he had Moses cover his face. And the apprehensions of Israel, 14, this is important, I'll end with this, were calloused. For until this very day, the same covering is remaining at the reading of the Old Covenant. At the reading of the Old Covenant, the same covering is remaining. There's a covering that's hiding the fading glory from Israel. It's hiding the fact that it is being nullified, that it's a dispensation of condemnation and death. People don't know that. And so even today, at the reading of the Old Covenant, Christians today, same way. They actually read the Old Covenant. They put it on their walls in the form of the Ten Commandments. And they are calloused, for until this day, the same covering that covered their ancestors covers their eyes. For only in Christ is it being nullified. This proves to me that Christians aren't in Christ. Anyone who looks to the Old Covenant, who looks to a deal between God and man, who puts the Ten Commandments up on the wall, loves the letters chiseled in stone, anyone who loves that in their heart, they're not in Christ. For only in Christ, verse 14, is that Old Covenant being nullified. But till today, if ever the reading of Moses should be reached, a covering is lying on their heart. Yet if ever it should reach a turning back to the Lord, the covering is being taken off. So if Christians came to realize sometime, wow, this is an old thing, we even have the New Covenant mixed up, we still think it's a deal between God and man. If that was ever taken away from them, it would be proof that it's from the Lord. It would be proof that they were turning back to the Lord. Turning back to the Lord. What a great thing that is. It tells us that people have turned from the Lord. And indeed, the religious apostasy is turning from the Lord, and it's looking inward. It's a looking to oneself. It's a looking to the Old Covenant. And a looking to the Old Covenant is proof that that covering is still there, that there's a blindness, there's a callousness. And all religion today is just as blind as that ancient religion of Israel being calloused. To this very day, they are still hardened. God hardened their hearts. I realize that. I'm just stating the facts here. Israel's heart is hard. When they realize that Christ has to bring the new covenant, that will prove a turning back to the Lord. But for us who are in Christ, we have already turned away. Our eyes have been enlightened. are, the covering has been far removed from us. And we see the futility of the old covenant, and we see that even the new covenant is not for us because we are flying in spirit among the celestials.